Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles to 2 Peter, we'll take our text from chapter 1, reading from verse 2 through verse 4, through 8. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, that's his word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of him which hath called us to glory, that's the doxa, and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, that's his character, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, give all diligence, adding to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness or godlikeness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity, which is love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. And also 1 John, reading from chapter 1, verse 2. In fact, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're a privileged people, Lord, to be here tonight, Yes. Knowing, Lord, that you are here, your presence is here, your pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. And so, Father, with these thoughts in mind and having read your word, we now have a successful meeting. And so, Lord, we are thankful for that. And Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, as we expound upon that word by thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Notice that you may abound. He said the word might abound in you. That means to manifest. That means to bring forth. And so we're looking tonight at the attributes of a son of God. In particular, we're looking at they have the character of Christ. This is number 8. In the miniseries, and the 8th attribute being that they have the character of Christ and will stand when others have deserted them. From James 1 and 2 we read, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, in other words, mature. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so as we read the other day from a quote that was taken from the thoughts of Martin Luther, and it said, you know, that the person in battle, or the soldier, the warrior, when his real test comes is when the real battle is, and how he stands and how loyal he is during that time. And so we're looking then at the character of Christ, because we're going to see tonight a certain characteristic that must take place in your coming to the character of Christ. And it's pertaining to you as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Now, from Brother Bram's sermon, Believest from the Heart, he said, Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, the very expression. And a man's work declares his character. Christ was God's work, and Christ declared God's character. His feeling for the sick, his longing for saving of souls, till even he gave his own life, God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. Now, how any minister of the gospel could make a statement and say, Brother Branham did the work that's necessary, and all we are doing is resting in that. I'm sorry. Or they said he did all the works, and we're resting in that. How can you make that statement in the light of a vindicated prophet of God who says that the very life that you live is the expression of the character? And Brother Branham said the only thing we're taking with us is character. So if you don't have an expression, you have no character. You understand? Yeah. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this same faith, this revelation, into the grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the doxa of God, the opinions, the values, the assessment of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations or testings, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And as Brother Bell taught us years ago, he said, experience, that means character. Your patience works the character into you. And then character brings on hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which gives us which is given to us. So hope is an earnest expectation. And the character then, as we read the other day, Brother Branham said, we are waiting. He said those people by faith were waiting on the manifestation of the promise. In other words, they have the promise, they've received the promise, now they're just waiting for God to manifest it in their flesh. You see? Amen. Well, from the Evening Messenger, Brother Branham said, now notice, when the message is rejected, and the messenger seems, he didn't say he was, but seems to be defeated, that's when God steps on the scene. His message is over. Noah, in closing now, Noah preached in the ark, in the door of his ark for 120 years, till when finally they laughed him to scorn. Noah stepped in the ark thinking it would be just be all right. But God closed the door. And the people hung around to see what was going to happen. And 7 days he sat there and sweated it out. And on the seventh day the rain come. You see, God will always test your revelation. Peter talks about in 1 Peter, he talks about the trial of our faith. That's the trial or the test of the revelation. You can't have a revelation without God testing it to see if you really got it or if you're just an intellectual Christian, you're just talking it. Now, friends, this is where we're coming to this evening. We know the message has been rejected. We've seen with our own eyes what's taking place in this hour. We see men even calling Brother Branham. They're even taking away Malachi 4. They say, well, you know, he's not the prophet of Malachi 4 anymore. And so they've rejected the messenger. They've rejected the prophet. They've rejected the message. And so to them, it's just Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have signs and wonders and this and that and everything else. So we know the message has been rejected, and we've seen that with our very eyes, and yet we have a lot of people who claim to believe the message, but in their life, it's been rejected. They go out and do everything that a good old Baptist would do, and they claim to believe the message. Shame on them. When you have a vindicated prophet of God who sanctified himself for your sake. And as Jesus said, I sanctify myself for your sake. You, brothers, sisters, are to sanctify yourselves for the sake of others. Your loved ones or whoever. That's what applying the token is all about. Now, we've heard it with our own ears, and we know that God is on the scene. Now, we've been standing in the door for 57 years now. Noah preached for 120. He stood in the door for 7. We had a ministry that went 33 and a half years. And in 56, Brother Branham said, I predict this nation will reject. And they did. And we've been standing for 57 years with a rejected king. And we've had 50 years since the seals were opened. And we were set free. But remember, when the seals were opened and the freeing that was given by the opening of the seals, those who didn't take their freedom and chose rather to stay in bondage, their ears was placed to an anvil, and an awl was driven through their ear. And they will never hear the gospel again. Is it already too late? Is this the year? 50 years since the seals were opened and the people still refuse to come out of the bondage of churchianity? 50 years is Jubilee, but the people stand like dead logs, afraid to make their stand and come into this word and manifest that portion of the word that was given for them to manifest. Will this be the year that all comes down and pierces their hearing so they will never hear the word again? Is it later than we think? Brother Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said when God spoke to Moses and said, speak and go forward, and he said if Moses would have only talked it, spoke it, nothing would have happened. He said Moses had to put his foot into the water in order for the water to open up. That is in order for that portion of word to manifest. You have to step into it. We've been talking about this for a long time now. We have promises that are right as plain as the nose on your face. Right for us in this last hour. And they speak about the end time. But there's also promises about the end time. And we find in 2 Timothy 3. Know this, that in the end time men shall be lovers of self. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. All those attributes, they're manifesting themselves too. Why? Because they stepped into them. They stepped into them. And their mouth declared those things. Now, from testimony this evening, Brother Brown said, we know the revival's over. Everyone knows that. I predicted that back in 56 when it would start ending. Billy Graham come back and Tommy Osborne and them said, and I said, this is it. America will receive it or they will reject it this year. And they rejected it. We're nothing waiting but judgment. Now, you mark that down and see if Brother Brown's not right. That's thus saith the Lord. We're headed for it and we're going to pay for what we've done. We got too much glamour in the church. And Hollywood and everything else. God's sick and tired of it. The last one will come in after a while, and that'll be it. And so we find in Romans 8, Paul talks about the law of the Spirit of life. That's Genesis 1 in verse 11. That every seed after his kind. So we're looking then at the very character, the very nature, the very attributes. If they are to be in us, then you, brother, sister, must go through the same growing up, the same way that Jesus came, because Brother Brown says the same way he came, we come. And look, Jesus didn't go in on Moses' coattail. And Paul didn't go in on Jesus' coattail. And you and I aren't going in on Jesus' coattail. If we're sons of God, we've got to come the same way he came. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Colossians 3 and 3, for you are dead. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. But the only way you can be dead is if you step into it. You've got to die to yourself. 2 Timothy 1 and 10. But it is now made manifest by the appearing. That's the manifestation or the expressing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How did he bring it to light? By manifesting the light and manifesting the life and the immortality. That eternal spirit, like Brother Brown said, eternal life is living for others. 2 Timothy 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We have a promise of life, and yet we got people in this message doing the same things the good old Baptists would do. Well, we all know the Baptists don't have the Holy Ghost, and if your activities are the same as theirs, that tells me you don't have the Holy Ghost either. 2 Timothy 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear at the appearing, when then shall you appear with him in glory. Then shall you manifest. That word is phaneru. Then shall you manifest in your true nature. And brother, sister, people are manifesting their true natures. But the problem is we. It says when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We shall manifest also. But they're manifesting because 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells, that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, and they're going to manifest unholy, unthankful, and all those ungodly things. Galatians 2 and 2, I am crucified, Paul says, with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet it's not I that's living, but it's Christ living in me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul is telling me, look, I am living, but it's not really me living, it's Christ living. We're talking about a complete surrender. We're talking about dying to self. We're talking about stepping into what you're supposed to be. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Philippians 2:30. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. What's Paul saying? Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. In other words, he was willing to die. Jesus, willing to go to the cross. Are you? Now, from the church choosing law for grace, Brother Ram said, a man who ever amounts to anything is a man that stands alone. Are you? Are you willing? Him and God alone, and that's the man. On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two. No more, no less. Just Jesus and you. That's all. And so that's the way that we have to walk this narrow way. Every man that ever did anything for God walked the same road. That's right. Criticized. Mm-hmm. Forsaken. Have you been? Cast out. I think a few of you have. Through all ages. All times. They've had to suffer the same thing. So we are just like they are. Same thing. We have to stand it alone. But never alone, because he's always there. There's room for two. Not you and your wife. She has to walk her way. You have to walk yours. There's room for two. You and God. That's the way it's got to be. At thy word, he said, the secret is take him at his word, if you believe it. Every man that ever mounted to anything has been people who has took God at his word. Do you believe that? You're going to mount to a bride? There's promises for you. Are you going to believe it? Step into it. From Romans 8:10, he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of right wiseness. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You see, we have all these promises, brother, sister, if we just die. All he asks us to do throughout the scripture, just be willing to die to self. And then you can take on his life, new life. Manifest that life. From three kinds of believers, Brother Branham said, or would you have been with Daniel or with the church that was down there at Nebuchadnezzar's party that they was having? See? Would you have been outside or would you have been down at that shindig? The big thing that they were having. Would you have been with Elijah, that man standing alone? Called an old crank, a man who lost his mind, standing upon the top of a hill, and his head shining up there to the sun, with a crooked stick in his hand, and birds feeding him, some crank? Or would you have been with the priests and all of them down there with Jezebel, and the rest of the modern dressed women, and the Elijah standing up there rebuking them as hard as he could? What party would you take your wife to? Just think, just picture yourself tonight. From Gabriel's, I could make some comments here that'd be pretty pertinent, but I think I'll just leave those off. But he said, what party would you be at? I think you catch the drift. From Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, he said, now back to the lesson. Daniel had been reading. Now just think, Daniel read the same words that we're reading this morning. Daniel read the same Bible, the same punctuation, the same sentences, the same things that I'm, by the help of God, that I'm that we'll read to you in the next few messages. The same thing to show you that we are at the end time. And Daniel, taking the word from Jeremiah, he goes down into Babylon, and he was an anointed prophet and wanders among them, yet standing alone by himself. Amen. He stood alone. Let's look at a few of them tonight. We have Moses, who was a man of God. He was anointed of God to deliver God's children from bondage. A man anointed of God, and yet Moses had to stand alone when it came to facing down Pharaoh and all those priests and magicians of Egypt. One man and one God. One man anointed by God to do God's word and will, and yet he had to stand alone. Look at that character of Christ coming through. No matter what anyone else said, it was obedience to God and his word. No matter what others could persuade him. Yet he had to stand alone. And when he did not, and when he did what God told him to do, the very people who he was sent to free from bondage tried to stone him. So Moses had to stand alone with just him and just God. What character? What Christ life? You know, there was a time when Brother Branham was wanting to step out of the ministry too, because of the things that were happening, people wanting to worship him and everything else, and God showed him. If you do. He showed him a vision of a mangy dog in a stinking, burning dump. And he said, that'll be you. It's not easy, brother, sister, when the rejections come down. It's not easy when they're preaching against you, calling you the rainbow circle, and just mocking and making fun of and all those things that they do. But you're standing with him. You're standing like Moses stood. You're standing like Samson stood. Samson, a man of God, anointed by God to deliver God's children from the Philistines. One man anointed by God, and he had to stand alone. Deserted by his people, the ones he was sent to deliver. The people he was raised up with. He grew up with. Yet he had to stand alone, deserted by his people. One man in God, one man anointed by God to deliver God's people. Yet Samson had to stand alone. What about David? For you young guys. David, a young man, as Brother Branham would call him, a ruddy, stoop-shouldered youth. Yet he stood there, and something in him could not stand to hear blasphemous words coming from that uncircumcised Philistine. And so he stepped forward. One man anointed by God for a job. One man anointed by God to deliver that uncircumcised Philistine a death blow. One man anointed by God to defend God's word among a bunch of backslidden Israelites. One man who feared no one amongst a people who feared and trembled at the sight of that giant called Goliath. Yet God anointed him to do that work. And he stood out there all alone. Just him and God against the greatest warrior of their day. One young man anointed by God, and yet David had to stand alone. Even his brothers tried to talk him out of it. And then we have Samuel, a prophet of God. And yet as all prophets, he had to stand alone too. Anointed by God to do the works of God. And the people saw the discernment. They saw the foretelling of things to come. They saw all the anointing of God and those things taking place. And yet, he had to stand alone. Rejected. And yet when he came to God, he said, they've rejected me. He said, well, Samuel, it's not really you they're rejecting. It's me in you they're rejecting. You would have thought that the people would have rallied around this saint of God, this man of God, who had proven God that he was God's man by the supernatural things that God did throughout his ministry. But he stood alone, just Samuel and God. Don't the people see what's going on today? Shouldn't they see that Alpha has become Omega? The scene then has repeated in this hour. But are they willing to stand alone, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and willing to stand there when all others have forsaken them? And Paul, what about Paul? You know, Paul did. He was willing to stand. We hear in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, the Grecians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Paul was forsaken by all. Paul, a man anointed by God to do the work of God. And the brethren rejected his ministry and the work that God was doing in him. Paul had no help with his mission work. They all forsook him. He went by God's calling to every country that God had sent him to, yet all those brothers together in Jerusalem, all of them having their big fellowship, all that support for each other, and yet none of them saw the vision that God gave to him. And so they departed. They stayed put in Jerusalem, contending not for the faith, but contending with each other who was in the message and who wasn't. And so none of them came to help him. None came to help out. And when one or two came by and wanted to maybe put in a little bit of time, they also forsook Paul. And when Peter came to see what was going on, he saw the work of God. And you would have thought that he would have turned a corner with Paul and be willing to walk alone with him. But when the legalists called the Pharisees, who Paul called false brethren, when they came, what happened to Peter? Got up, slid away. Didn't want to be seen with Paul and those Gentiles. Those rainbow children. And so Paul rebuked him face to face. Paul, servant of God, forsaken and alone, but not totally alone, because God never forsook Paul. God was there and anointing his ministry and manifesting the same power through him that was manifested through Christ, now in Paul. And what about Jesus? What about Jesus, the one who had the fullness of God's life in him, who was the fullness of the prophets? What about Jesus? When he went to that cross, he was forsaken by everyone. Peter denied him 3 times. And when his hour was come to manifest why he had come into the world, all the disciples forsook him. They all ran away and distanced themselves from him. And he stood there at the end, forsaken by all, but manifesting the very purpose and character of why God had chosen him to be our propitiation. What about Jesus? Anointed by God, his own son. Anointed to do a work of God. To heal the sick, save the lost. But toward the end of his ministry, they all forsook him. Even those who had been with him for so many years in the ministry. Fellow ministers. From whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's the message. That's the title of Brother Brown's message. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. He says, anyone can go with you when the crowd's going. But wait till you're standing alone. That's when a real brother stands by you. I like that. And what about Brother Branham when the healing ministry was at its peak? They all seemed to want him. But when he began to show them where they were wrong in their doctrine, they deserted him left and right. Until at the end of his ministry, he was forsaken by all those big name ministers. And just a few loyal believers, loyal to the word that he was preaching, were there at the end. From faith cometh by hearing, Brother Brown said, easy was it. How easy was it for Mary then? When the Holy Spirit met her out there, overshadowed her, and the great angel Gabriel stood in the way and said, Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women. I'm going to tell you something that never did happen. What's going to happen to you? Amen. Look what she had to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. He said, you're going to have a child knowing no man. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. What about you, brother, sister? We're ordained. The Bible says there's some that are ordained to be manifested sons. Is that yours? Are you willing to step into it and claim it? What be it unto me, whatsoever, Lord, you have for me, be it unto me according to thy word. It's in thy word. That's what I want. There's some who are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. How does it come? It comes by a promise. What do? You step into it, and then what happens? You're rejected. You're rejected because you believe in God's word. You see? That's when that life begins to grow in you. That's when that character, the character of Christ, begins to grow in her right there. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, I love this. He says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. I begin to feel religious here tonight. Notice when you think of that, how that men and women, anybody that ever wanted to be anything in this life, has been men and women who took God at his word and believed it. That's it. No matter what the world says, what mama says, what the pastor says, it's what God has said. I ain't got faith in what mama said. It's my mother I have. She is my mother, but I haven't got faith in that. I haven't got faith in the pastor as a pastor. I got faith in the pastor as a pastor, but I got faith in what thus saith the Lord. That settles it. Faith comes from hearing of the word. And I believe it. Now John says in John 20 verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. In John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The more you know him, and the more you see him, and the more you see that character coming out in prophet after prophet, in man of God after man of God. And then the more you begin, as you step into that, the more you see the same scene taking place in your life. That's the word of God, brother, sister, alive. Hallelujah. From God identifying himself, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people. The common people has identified God's characteristics with the people. He promised it. It's the word. He said he'd do it. Nobody can take it back. He said he would do it. So all of these that he's promised, that's what he does. It identifies his characteristic. Yes, sir. Don't believe it. Don't believe my claims. If my characteristic isn't that of God. Now notice John 14:12. He that believeth on me, he said, has my identification. My characteristic, that's character. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen. What was the greatest characteristic he had? He was a rejected king. What are you going through right now? Rejection. A man of sorrows, acquainted with what? Everybody plotting you on the back, saying, what, attaboy, attaboy, Don? Attaboy, Jimmy? No, they're trying to destroy your very character. And yet, when they do that, they're crucifying to themselves a Son of God afresh. Hallelujah. Oh, this is beautiful. That identifies, he says, John 14:12, he that believeth on me, he said, has my identification, my characteristics. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. From the Message Life, he says, now the Christian church should have real character then. And if the life of Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. It'll produce the life of Christ. It's just no more than just what we call in the South common sense. If the life of the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it has to produce that life. Because the life that's in you makes your character. And what kind of character ought we to be? Who have solemnly promised that we would serve the Lord Jesus as long as we live? And we have been baptized to his death, burial, and resurrection, and have put our names upon the church's roll, take our place in Sunday school, and then go out and live something different. Oh, it's more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than all the bootleg joints that we have in America. God grant the day that when men will live just what they are, and you can always tell them by their nature and their makeup. And from Christ's identify Christ of all ages, he said, and so divine healing, the main thing is divine healing of the soul. The body of Christ, it needs healing worse than any that I know of is the body of Christ. It's been so broken up by man's theology and by denominational differences until it's a sick body. And I tell you, it needs healing, great healing. So I trust that the Lord will do a great thing towards the healing of his part of the body that's in here. We believe that there is one church and we never join it. Next Monday, it'll be 55 years old and the Branham family. I'll be 55 years old. And the Branham family never did ask me to join the family. I was born a Branham and that's how I am in him. Now, that's how we are in Christ. We're Christians. We're born as Christians. And we don't join it. You're born into it. Then you take the character of Christ. And from choosing of a bride, he said, I remember one time a prophet went up to take the king. And to make a king out of Jesse's son and to take one king's place, Saul. And so Jesse brought him out and he was a great big fine boy. And he said, the crown will look fine on his head. And the prophet went to pour the oil on him. He said, and God refused him. And he refused every one of them till they come to a little stoop-shouldered, ruddy-looking fellow. And he poured the oil upon him and he said, God chose him. See, we choose by sight, but God chooses by character. Character, and there never was a character like Jesus Christ. It lives in him, manifests in. We see it true. It's not worldly beauty of him that attracts his bride. It's his character, the character of the church that Jesus looks for. Not whether it's big buildings, whether it's great denominations, whether it's big membership. He promised to meet with wherever two or three are gathered together. Truly, that's where the true believer rests his hope, is upon that word of God being vindicated in truth, what it is. Choose by his word, not a worldly loving group. They hate that. No wonder she's divorced from him, because she missed his revelation and she don't have it. He cares not for her the way that she acts and does, and how much of this worldly stuff she does. He's looking for her character, the character of Christ. In closing, I would like to share the following quote, because it is the closest quote that I've been able to find that comes where Brother Branham speaks of the body and the hand. When the hand moves, the body moves. But notice who is the hand. It is not William Branham that is the hand, but the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the vine and we are the branches. And when his hand moves in the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, then the physical body of Christ moves. Listen closely to Brother Branham's words here. From Questions and Answers, he said, but oh, what a picture as the true vine there, and we are the branches in that vine. Now notice Brother Branham says we. And we does not speak of one. We speaks of others besides self. In other words, others including self. But it does not, but it does not say, it doesn't speak of self alone. Jesus said, we are the branches, and he is the vine. So he's talking about the body of Christ. You see, and Brother Branham says, see, just as the vine moves, so does the branches move. Is that right? So he's not referring to one member of the body moving, and thus the body moving. Such as the hand moving, and thus the body moves. But he's talking, as the vine lives, so do we live. As the Holy Spirit moves the hand in the spiritual, we move the hand in the physical body of Jesus Christ. Now, how beautiful then, Brother Branham says, of his great body. His great body. Oh, his great bleeding arms and dropping tears and his bleeding sides, and his striped back, a hanging over the earth like this between God the Father and the mortals of this earth, a pleading and loving them, just as his body comes into motion and power is given into the church. Just as he said, I'll move my hands this away, and his literal body moves. Go here. Preach the gospel over here. You see that church move right straight. Because my shadow has to move with my hand. Amen? Is that right? Amen. Oh my, when I think of that, there he is moving, his body moving. Go you into all the world, demonstrate the power, no matter if we let our theology and teachings and so forth like that, we bitterly fail. But now the hand of God is moving, signs and wonders are appearing. A prophet cannot do anything unless God does it first, and neither can you. If we are the body of Christ, if in the spirit God's body is doing a certain thing, we, one member in the body, will be doing that. He says, you go over to Africa and you do this thing. That's the body physical responding to the body spiritual. So when Brother Branham mentions the hand moving and then the body moving, he's talking about God's hand, not a prophet of God. He is not talking about the man William Branham. He's talking about when the Holy Spirit does something. And Brother Branham was sensitive to that. So when the hand of God moved, he did move. And when God told him to go to Africa and India, he went to Africa. He went to India. But that's not only for him, brother, sister. When God speaks to you and you step into it, watch the rejection. Then you know that God's moving you. Then you know that you do have the Spirit of Christ. And it is Christ in you that's being rejected. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord. And we're thankful, Father, for that identification. As Brother Branham said, John 14:12, he said, those that are believers are identified with him. And the very works that he does, they become the character of who we are. And so his character and his characteristics will be expressed in who we are. And so where he's concerned, we're concerned. When he's rejected, we're rejected. When his invisible hand is rejected, our visible hand is rejected, because it's the invisible union of the bride with Christ. Oh, hallelujah. So, Father, we are who we are, but your grace is not of what we can do. It's not him that runneth or him that willeth, but it's God that showeth mercy. May we be the reflection of who you are.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. $3.72 in the these books here. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Down through, I'm safe from all alarms. Down at the cross, my heart is bending low. Washes white as snow. I love him. I love him because he and purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was lost upon the plains of sin, once was a slave to doubts and fears within, once was afraid to trust a loving God, but now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. Let's all stand and worship him. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my son. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world the peace that he alone can give.